And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making it cool to be a conservative. I tell you what, that last segment with Melissa Melinda is such an eye-opener. I mean, good gosh. Boomer, I'm going to read some texts, and you and I got to talk about it. I can't leave that yet. Moon Pie from Madison says, Senator, I move that a special congressional committee be formed to investigate potential corruption in the running of the NCAA football pick'em. Right Side Radio.
Everybody's
all God's children got questions. All God's children. He says there's at least as much evidence for this as there has been for many recent investigations.
There you go.
Which, by the way, means there was no evidence for the day. Colin from Decatur says, going to have to stop calling them public schools, start calling them government re-education facilities. Mm. Yeah. Not even safe before college anymore. Mm. God. Mike from Huntsville says, the state's taking your children. Simple as that. So, all right, boom shakalaka, hit your mic, man.
All right, so...
Hit your camera, too. I want to see your face.
My snarling face
right
now.
That's right. Okay, so your impressions on the conversation we just had with Senator Melendez.
Well, there's some words that I probably can't say on air, but in...
This is a family program.
In air words, I would say... There is no way that they would be allowed or even come close to my kids if that ever happened.
Yeah.
And so something you and I were talking about off air as well. I, in the nicest way, however you want to put it, impossible, I would be in jail. I mean, I would. I would be in jail and my wife would fully support it.
Yeah, I get it. Which is by the way, them forcing it to that point.
Exactly.
It's not like you got angry because of something that was just mere inconvenience. No.
No.
And you're also not being an extremist. It's not like you went out there and became some kind of radicalized citizen. You were just talking about raising your child, and they encroached upon that to the extent that they tried to stop you from raising your child.
So what happened to the Castle Doctrine? Basically telling you can defend your... basically family and your castle and your home and all that. Like, why can't I do that?
Are you blending the Second Amendment with parental rights?
I'm just saying. Like, don't come in.
I'm laughing because that's a unique analogy, man.
I mean, don't try to come in and take anything from my family. And why can I not stand up for my family and defend my family the way
you know what's
I
interesting, though? In most of the nation, you can.
Yeah,
and most of the nation is viewing what's happening in California like with like incredulity, like what in God's name are y'all thinking? But that's where the California legislature, California as a state, is not per se there,
right?
But the California legislature is there, at least the majority of them, enough to get these votes passed, and they've got some radicals in there.
And I can't believe that has already gone past to where now the governor is going to sign. Like,
it's down to him.
That just blows my mind.
See, here's what leadership can do, though. The executive branch and the legislative branch are two separate entities, obviously. And the governor of the state, he can lead by saying, y'all can pass that bill if you want to, but I won't be signing it. But no, what Newsom does is he waits to watch where the political winds blow. And then he waits for the moment to decide, do I or don't I? What is best for me right now? Well, that's not leadership. That's called, you know, self-service.
Idiocracy
with cacistocracy.
That's right.
I'm with you, man. I'd be in the jail cell right next to you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. And I'm talking about Alabama, this one, Alabama. And I mean to say this show, like, sends its signal way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And I tell you what, folks, listen, when you're on the breaks and you hear the ads playing, let me just tell you. So Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity, all right? We're not owned by the stations that you're listening to us on. We are a business like many others that has to have its own revenue streams. One of the ways we support what we do is via selling ads. So if you listen to the show and you're thinking, whew, those guys got it going on. I love the show. I want my business to align with them because I know ruffians will buy my stuff or use my services. Well, I'm just saying, we'd love to have you on the team as an advertiser. And the way you do that is you don't call the station. You got to call us directly. You go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on the place where it says advertising and contact. Send us a message. We will get back to you ASAP, and we would love to have you on the team. So, yeah, you want to advertise Right Side Radio? Bring it. Go to rightsideradio.org and send us a message. All right, we're going to the next part of the Triple Dipper, number two on the Triple Dipper. I'm calling this Big Bad Government. Take that as a clear delineation of what the topic is about. Big and bad, and it's government. So there's a... Now, by the way, Republicans are becoming more and more guilty of allowing government to grow. And I'll be honest with you. Limited government is where I'm at. I'm for that. There are so many duplicative services, invasions of the private sector, and just bloating of government. Like, they never downsize. So back in 2010, I go to my own personal frame of reference, but back in 2010, when Republicans in the Republican wave of 2010 took over the state legislature for the first time in 136 years, I was proud to be a part of that group. We came in, and one of the first things we did was we began to streamline government. We put hiring freezes in some places. We didn't allow them to, we used natural attrition. We didn't just fire people, but we allowed natural attrition to let departments downsize. We also, by the way, consolidated certain departments. We had some stovepiped installations that were doing the same things left and right. We had every department allowed to buy its own versions of different kinds of software that couldn't talk to each other. We had to bring that into integration. So all said and done, there were several things we did along the way that streamlined government as a cost-saving measure, and I was pretty proud to see it happen. Doesn't happen that way very often. And when government gets bigger, government begins to look for ways to justify its own existence. I mean, if you're that big, you're either sitting around drumming your fingers on the desk going, what do we do? I don't know. Where is everybody? Well, the private sector is all crushed right now because of the COVID restrictions, but we're still getting paychecks. What do we do? Let's sit at home and think up something new. Okay, what do you want to do? How about a regulation that stops people from going, I don't know, fishing? That sounds good. What else can we do? I don't know. What about, we ran all the grocery stores out of business. Let's open a state-owned grocery store. That's cool. Let's do that. And this is the way government works. And when it makes those kind of decisions, it's also what I would call bad government. You're getting into idiocracy and kakistocracy. Here's a classic example at what I would say is supposed to be the small version level, the municipal, which ain't always that small when you consider that places like Chicago are as big as places like Rhode Island. But Chicago, story here on Fox Business, came out yesterday. Now, keep in mind that Alabama is not guilt-free in what I'm about to describe. Alabama runs state-run liquor stores. Everybody who stocks a shelf and runs a cash register at an ABC store is a state employee. Yes. You may not have realized that, but the ABC store stands for Alabama Beverage Control Board. And the ABC stores is the state working in the private sector. Don't ask me why that's been allowed to continue. I tried to fight it when I was down there, but good luck finding your way through that mafia. I got reasons I can tell you about more later on, but nonetheless. But what happens, though, when government decides, you know, we just feel like we could do a better job than the private sector? Is it ever better? Are the prices in the ABC store better? No? What about this? Fox Business, story that came out yesterday. I will reference him as liberal Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, who, by the way, has zero qualifications to run a major metropolitan area like Chicago. Zero. You know what his qualifications are? He was heavily involved in the leadership of the teachers union. That's how he got elected. Mayor Brandon Johnson, with zero ability to lead to his name, has been nothing but a community activist for a number of years. Well, then again, so was Obama. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson announced last week that his administration is exploring a city-owned grocery store. Well, this is going to go good. A city-owned grocery store as a means of promoting, quote, equitable access to food, though the plan has drawn criticism from skeptics of government-owned and operated stores. You think? It says, Chicago would become the first major U.S. city to implement a municipally-owned grocery store to address food inequities if the proposal advances. Well, Says that Johnson, though, is first going to, you know, his administration with regards to their, what they call their emerging food retail strategy, will receive input from experts, community leaders, and Chicago's Food Equity Council. Well, that's going to go good. The Food Equity Council. We need to know if you got DEI in the distribution of your granola. Well, granola is often viewed as white supremacist, so we're going to have to go with puffed rice. This is where it's going, y'all. When you got, okay, anyway. And by the way, who are the experts? Is he going to bring in the people that run Winn-Dixie and Publix? No. He's going to bring in some professor from Northwestern University who's going to tell him why he's on the right track to solving food inequities. Here's the quote. You ready for this? Brace yourselves. Big bad government. This is a quote from the mayor himself. All Chicagoans deserve to live near convenient, affordable, healthy grocery options. See, I don't recall, like, an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that described how far away your grocery store is supposed to be. Do you? I don't recall that. All Chicagoans deserve to live near convenient, affordable, healthy grocery options. We know access to grocery stores is already a challenge for many residents, especially on the south and west sides. I'll get back to that in a minute. My administration, said Johnson, is committed to advancing innovative, whole-of-government approaches to address these inequities. I am proud to work alongside partners to take steps in envisioning what a municipally-owned grocery store in Chicago would look like. Wait for it. It gets better. The mayor's office added that historic disinvestment, let me describe that for you. Disinvestment means crime and liberal policies cause stores to flee. The mayor's office added that historic disinvestment has led to inequitable access to food retail across Chicago. And these existing inequities have been exacerbated as at least six grocery stores closed on the south and west sides over the last 2 years. Why do you think they closed? Pray tell, for what reason would any store close? Maybe because it was no longer financially feasible to be there. Maybe because big bad government has done nothing but defund the police, put liberal policies in place, and demand equity and demand DEI and demand CRT. And you look at it and go, why would you not close up shop and move somewhere else? Here's the data. Brace yourselves. This is what inequity looks like. The mayor's office cited data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which estimated that at least 63.5% of residents in West Englewood and 52% in East Garfield Park live more than half a mile from their grocery store. Y'all, I live 10 miles from my grocery store. And that's still not bad. I mean, if you choose to live in the country or you choose to live in West Englewood part of Chicago, you have just chosen to live in an area that may not have a grocery store more than half a mile. You can walk half a mile. So what is the standard supposed to be? You can no longer live more than 500 feet from your grocery store. What? Listen, how many times, Boomer, let me ask you something. How many times have you been driving home and, like, McQueen says, hey, stop by and pick up a gallon of milk or something?
Quite a few.
Yes. hey, before you come home, can you swing by CVS and pick up the prescription?
Right.
Yes, those things happen.
Quite
right?
a few.
Yeah. Well, next time, just tell McQueen, I'm sorry, dear. Inequities have caused me to fight for this. I'm not going to the store again until it's 500 feet from our door.
That would go over great.
That's going to look awesome. I feel certain I know what she would say.
Yes.
And he goes on, though, by the way, to make this racist. Go figure. The mayor's office argued that its food access and security link directly to environmental and racial justice. Environmental justice, racial justice, those are just, you know, synonyms for liberal policies. 37% of black residents and 29% of Latinx residents are food insecure compared to 19% of residents overall. Hoo boy. So what we're looking at right now is big bad government believes it can always do things better than the private sector. The private sector says, you know what? We're closing down six major stores in that area. And the private sector says, we can't be there. We can't. Crime and high taxes and liberal policies and demands for things that we don't want to be a part of, and did we fly our pride flag or not? All that stuff is what drives private sector out. And when private sector shuts down, it doesn't mean that it's going to work really well for government to get involved. So now what you're going to have is unionized government employees that are going to be running a municipally owned grocery store, demanding better benefits, and they're not going to worry about being on part-time wages because this guy is going to put them on either salaried or $20 an hour wages. And then you're going to look at it and go, and the quality sucks. The produce section is never up to par, and the canned foods on the shelf are getting out of date, and there's not enough milk, and I can't get eggs. But hey, we solved food inequities. Because nobody else wanted to open a store there, but big bad government said, here's an idea. All right, listen, we got to take a break right now. I'll take that break. I'll come right back. I got one caller holding on the line. If you want to call in, you are welcome to it. 833-687-4447. 4448, I'm sorry. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I'll tell you what Bernie Sanders said, too, about, oh, I don't know, a four-day work week. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, I got a caller on the line. Is that Lee? Lee from Huntsville's on the line. How you doing, Lee?
I'm doing great. Hope you're well.
I am good. What's going on?
Well, so I heard you talking about the Chicago grocery store thinking, you know, how Chicago was going to implement a government-owned grocery store.
Yeah.
And the... You know, they're not playing the tape all the way through. Because what happens with government-owned entities? A, they produce employees that customer service don't even understand what it is. Imagine going to the grocery store and they have the attitude of the DMV. This is not going to be public.
Yes.
So, but the thing is, there's a reason why the grocery stores have disappeared from those areas. A, they have to correct that before... This is going
That's
to be
right.
successful.
That's right.
But and what's going to happen when they rob the government-owned grocery stores? But also, the grocery stores operate on a pull mentality, which means the customers determine what is available in the grocery stores by their purchasing habits or pull. They're pulling products that they want. And so the products that don't succeed are due to not being popular or successful. Now, government operates on a push mentality. You get what they put out there.
Yeah.
And you don't want it? Well, that's just too bad. They don't care, right? So they're like, just, yeah, here's two kinds of cheese. You want a different kind of cheese? We don't care. Here's two kinds of cheese. Think of Soviet Union, right? That's how their grocery stores operate. So
if you get two kinds.
Yes. And if you don't want this or that, well, we don't care what you want. It's this or that. So that not only when they're also trying to move towards a government electronic cash system, in order to control spending and to control this new kind of Bitcoin mentality where people can have money and they're not aware of how and what they're spending it on.
Yeah.
So think about, you start combining government-owned grocery stores with government-backed cashless systems, and what do you have? You have ultimate control. They can tell you what you can buy and when you can buy it. That's when they can start rationing. You can't buy this week. You can buy next week. You can't buy these items. You can only buy those items.
But now, Lee, how can you possibly solve food inequities if you tell people when they can buy?
Because this isn't to solve food inequities. This is to control human behavior. It has nothing to do with it.
Yep. There you go. That's, you're exactly right. This is big, bad government. Yeah. Government is so big and yet run so bad, it just becomes the bloated pig that you have no choice but to deal with.
It's a demonstration of the saying that in government is big enough to give you whatever you want, such as a grocery store. It's big enough to take everything you have.
There you go. Hey, Lee, great call. Thanks, as always. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Man, the text lines has got active again, Boone. I mean, like, wow. Let me get a few of these. Jennifer Mathen says, I wonder if they'll chain up the meat section as well. Probably. They'll probably tell you meat's bad and that, you know, you're allowed to have some of that fake meat they grow in the lab. Woo! No. That's a whole nother story.
That's a whole nother story.
I could just ruin some days by talking about that again.
Yes, you can.
All right. Andrew from Tony says, what happens when the government-run grocery store starts getting robbed? Great question. It can't possibly be because of the policies of that area. No, that won't be. G.I. Joe from Birmingham says, Phil, what do you think about the Iran hostage exchange? I think it sucks. First of all, I'm glad they're home. I am so glad they're home. They deserve to come home. You know what, though? They deserve to come home without us paying $6 billion because we have an idiocracy right now running the United States. I mean, the very idea that we give a pallet full of cash to the people that were holding Americans hostage, it just chaps me. And I think what's going to wind up happening is they just put a price tag on Americans worldwide. Hey, they pay pallets of cash if you give them back their people. Let's take a few. That's what I'm worried is going to happen, G.I. Joe. Dustin from Hazel Green. Hey, Phil, judging by the obesity statistics in the USA, some people could use grocery stores being further away. Nice. James from Owens Crossroads. So those every 500 feet Chicago government groceries will also have to be green. All deliveries by electric vehicles, no refrigeration because that wastes energy, so all of them will have spoiled food with elevated prices. Nice. Well said. Patrick from Oak Grove says, all this government and equity talk makes me want to stop at the state store on my way home. John from Huntsville says, speaking of idiocracy, I saw on the internet where a 34-year-old police officer got arrested for throwing a McDonald's cheeseburger at his wife. Okay, that seems random, but thanks. And then brand new in the text lines, we're glad you're there, Rap from Athens. You think someone will try to out-slouch Fetterman? I would have to go with dressed as a clown or Batman. You know, that's a whole other story, bro. But I'm telling you, it's a lowering of the decorum and the lack of professionalism. Unbelievable. All right, listen, we're taking a break. I got somebody holding on the line. We'll get to him as soon as we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number three, welcome to it. Hey, I'm in a section right now I'm calling Big Bad Government. That's big and it's bad and it's government. And I got a caller on line one who held on during the break, so let me honor his time. Gene from Tennessee. How you doing, Gene?
Pretty good, sir. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much.
Did three tours myself. Active Air Force, Army Reserve, and Army Guard.
Well, thank you for your service.
OCS.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for your service.
Got a rabbit
I appreciate
for
it.
You.
Yeah.
Got a rabbit. It'll relate to this. It'll relate to these surgeries they're doing for the gender change on the kids, the denial of parents' rights. It'll also address the COVID shots, and it'll indirectly address the media and the collaboration they're doing. Censorship and stuff.
Okay.
You remember the Nuremberg trials?
Okay. Yeah.
World War II Nuremberg trials. In those trials, there was a policy that was pretty much accepted worldwide that people had bodily autonomy to not be guinea pigs for medical reasons. And that's universally accepted. It was swept under the rugs during the mandatory vaccinations. I couldn't find it anywhere. I've struggled to find it, what little I have found. The other issue was the medias that were complicit on the propaganda that the Germans put out on the people, they were held accountable for liabilities legally and otherwise.
Okay. Where are we going, Gene? I got to reel it in, brother.
Well, I'm saying is that applies to what's going on right now today.
Okay.
In a lot of ways. And why they're not looking at or enforcing it, it's in the books. It's in the law books, but they're not enforcing it. Forcing these kids to have surgeries or having to get these kids to do these surgeries for gender reassignment would be another form of experimentation on bodies. The COVID vaccine that's not approved, forcing us, is another case of it. But they relate legally to what's going on right now, but have not been explored.
No, I don't disagree with that, and I think that part of this too deals with things like what they often refer to as the natural law, and at the same time it also just steps right on top of, it's not just the legal precedent you cited, but it steps right on top of constitutional liberties. But Gene, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you hanging on during the break too. Thank you very much. Stay in the fight, man. Let me jump back in too. By the way, I'm in big bad government. Big bad government. So what happens when government gets so big that it begins to just mandate things that it knows are bad because it's bad? And listen, not all government's like that. I will be honest and upfront when I say I fully understand that there is a role for government. There is. There absolutely is. And not everybody in government is bad. So I'll lay that out there in case some of y'all think that I'm like, everyone's bad and they're all corrupt. I'm not. I'm not that way at all. Having served in Montgomery, I can just tell you there are wonderful people serving in our state government. And I believe the same of many people in U.S. government. And there's also some scallywags. There are some knuckleheads. There's some jackassery going on a regular basis. I said the word. You didn't push the button, Boomer. I don't know how that... Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Like, for instance, Senator Bernie Sanders, who's decided it's a good idea for the government to, he's all for the EV thing. Keep in mind, he's part of what passed the laws that are enhancing EVs. And yet, part of the reason why the UAW is on strike is because EVs are crushing jobs and diminishing the capabilities of the industry. And so the UAW is on strike right now, citing that as one of their grounds, and yet Bernie Sanders, who's a part of big bad government, decides he wants to run down there and speak to one of the rallies. Awesome. I'm here to support you and your cause against the machine. Never mind that I'm feeding the machine that you're protesting against. Says the far left senator's remarks, story on Fox, by the way, came out Sunday. The far-left senator's remarks came on Friday afternoon during the first day of the union's stand-up strikes against General Motors, Stellantis, and Ford. Sanders continued to torch the CEOs of those organizations, claiming they make out like bandits. He says, We refuse to live in an oligarchy. We refuse to accept a society in which so few have so much and so many have so little, said the millionaire Bernie Sanders. Could somebody please remind him where he made his money? Oh, that's right. In some cases, we don't know. But then get this. In an effort to prove that he's a part of big bad government who just knows stuff, Sanders went on to support the UAW's push for a four-day work week. Okay, you're losing me now. UAW, I was proud of you standing up against the idea of EV mandates crushing your jobs, but if you're looking for four-day work weeks, shut up and go back to work. I mean, if that's what you're going to do, just shut up and go back to work. We don't want to be France. We don't. Just stop it. Just stop pretending it's about what's good for the social order. No, it's about what's good for your pockets now. By the way, breaking news a few minutes ago, banner on the TVs, one of the TV screens here in the studio, the UAW just turned down a 21% pay increase. Turned it down, it wasn't enough. They want a four-day work week, they want a 31% pay increase. And Sanders supports them in their call for a four-day work week. That is not how the world works. Hey, speaking of big, bad government, though, just so you know that California is not going to break off and fall into the sea, and we proved that a while ago with our friend Melissa Melendez, who's a conservative working advocacy issues out there. Well, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So I'm going to tell you right now, as a lawyer in Alabama, when I write a brief, if I decide to cite what we call secondary law, meaning it's either A, outside my state for a state court case, or B, it's outside of my circuit for an 11th Circuit case, which is Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. If it's outside of the 11th Circuit and I cite a secondary law case, I got to be careful about that. I might cite the 5th Circuit because, you know, they're pretty conservative and it relates to the 11th Circuit. But I would be laughed out of some courtrooms if I cited the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, based in California, is not known for being a conservative bastion of the defense of the Constitution and everything else. But they've been they've been handing it to the state of California lately. I mean, like, handing it to them. Big, bad government out of control. Here's what we think of you. How about this one? So there was a case, the story of the Daily Signal came out last week. The Federal Appeals Court last Wednesday, ruled against a California law that banned gun advertisements. You can't advertise a gun because it might attract minors to the guns. Boomer's laughing. But never mind the fact that minors can't buy guns in the state of California. So what are we attracting them to? Something lawfully owned in their household? Is that what you're saying? The state was basically just trounced on by the Ninth Circuit, which is, like I said, usually pretty liberal. But the California law, it said, prohibited firearm advertisements that could be construed as, quote, designed, intended, or reasonably appeared attractive to minors. But since minors can't purchase firearms and California already takes steps to prevent youth gun violence, the court found that the law banning truthful gun advertisements had a sweeping and extensive manner that was violative of the Constitution. It says there's no evidence on the record that a minor in California has ever unlawfully bought a gun, let alone because of an ad. Nor has the state produced any evidence of truthful ads. So this is what happens when big, bad government gets a notion. Big, bad government sitting out there saying, you know what? We don't like firearms. What the court found was the court literally said all this was an effort by California to shape people's views on guns. Oh. Says California wants to legislate views about firearms, said one of the justices. California has thus singled out a particular message it does not like to try and prohibit its proliferation. It just gets better, though. It gets better. How about this? Fellowship of Christian Athletes. How many of y'all were involved in FCA? FCA in high school? I was in FCA in high school. Loved it. FCA in high school. Well, not if you're in California, because FCA in high school, well, that can be scary. I mean, you could have drag queen story hour in elementary schools, but you can't have a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting in a high school. Well, maybe you can, because once again, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that a California school district had violated the rights of Christian athletics by forcing it off of campus. Ha-ha! There is hope for California. It says in 2019, a teacher by the name of Peter Glasser at Pioneer High School obtained a copy of the statement of faith of the local FCA club, posted it on his own whiteboard, saying he was, quote, deeply saddened by the policies, beta male. Did I just say that? I did. Boomers, just give me the head nod. Go for it, man. Just stay in there. The FCA, it said, required students who volunteer with the club in a leadership capacity to sign a statement of faith that included beliefs like sexual intimacy is designed to be expressed within the confines of marriage between one man and one woman. And it saddened, it deeply saddened Peter Glasser. So they filed a lawsuit to try and get it banned from the campus. And oh, by the way, the lower courts ruled in the state's favor. But oh, by the way, the FCA hired the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, and they fought back like they should, because we have to. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals just came back and said, hey, big bad government, you can't just simply ban a group because they're Christians. You can't say because the beta male teacher who posted on his whiteboard that he was deeply saddened by the policy. Maybe that teacher should go like study the Constitution. Apparently he wasn't a civics teacher. Probably taught sex ed. Who knows? But the reality is this. You can't. Big bad government does not need to be in the grocery industry. Big bad government does not need to be in the determination of what faith is allowed to be on campus. Big bad government doesn't need to be, you know, sitting around making rules and regulations that muzzle speech because they don't like guns, so they decide you can't advertise a gun at all. Big bad government. I got a little more on this, and I see I got a caller that held on, but I'll get that after the break. So we'll take the break right now. We'll come right back, and we'll wrap up this section on big, bad government. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making it cool to be a conservative. Held on during the break, and I appreciate it. Let me grab it real quick. Jeff from Indiana. Jeff Rowe, what you doing, buddy?
Crossing Tennessee River right now.
Whoop, whoop.
Heading north.
All right. Well,
oh,
that,
boy.
That puts you, what, about a third of the way home?
No. that puts me 20 miles away from where I started to go home.
Oh, gosh.
Got a ways to go.
Well,
I got Nashville ahead of me, too, so but that should be all right the time I get there.
Well, what's on your mind, man? What you thinking about today?
Hey, you think the Chinese are paying the UAW as much as they paid the Bidens off to, you know, to get the people to destroy the American economy over here? I mean, as far as the union workers that are going to lose their jobs whenever all these plants say, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home, take it to China where they don't have unions.
Well, I mean, I look at it too, and I think, first of all, it's crazy because what we're also hearing is that the government mandates for electric vehicles are part of what's driving the strike. At the same time, then you got Bernie Sanders, who helps create the standard, calling for a four-day work week for the strikers. And, oh, by the way, they just turned down a 21% pay increase. So what the heck?
Well, that's what I say. The Chinese have to be supporting the UAW members because, or the hierarchy anyway, because there's not going to be any UAW members left whenever they move all the plants out of the United States.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the yellow freight drivers. Yellow Freight had his problems and everything, but they wouldn't negotiate anything. And now 30,000 union drivers are out of a job. How many of them do you think is going to get a union job back?
No, you're exactly right. It's just they can be their own best friend and their own worst enemy all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, you work for somebody. If you like it, you know, then that's fine, dandy. I'm working for a company. I could go out and buy my own truck, but then guess what? I don't have no. I got to do my own 401k. I got to pay my own taxes.
Yep.
Got to pay all the repair bills and everything else. You know, I might make some more money, and then I might go bankrupt. But you know, hey, I'm working for somebody. You know, I'm getting taken care of there. You know, and unless they go belly up.
Well, you're right, man. And so, tell you what you think about the 4-day work week. Do you want one?
Well, Boomer wants to be 2 days a week, I think.
Have y'all been talking offline?
I mean, he wants a raise, you know, at least more than what the show takes in, you know. You got to pay your wages, bud.
All right, Jeff, I got to take one more caller for the break, man. Appreciate you. Be safe on the road.
Have a good one, Phil.
We'll see you. Line two, Alan from Hartsell. Alan, how you doing?
I'm upright and breathing again.
There you go.
I got a. Now, the ladies on the news, I watched BBC some late at night. The lady was on strike. She says she's just making $25 an hour.
Yeah.
Okay, her husband has been there 7 years. So he's going to be at top of scale, which is usually $30 to $32 an hour. Let's say $30.
Yeah.
That's $55 an hour. Now, you take both of them working 40-hour weeks. That's $2,200 a week if you say you can't afford a vehicle.
Yeah.
They have, like the government, they have a spending problem. It's not a money problem. It's a spending problem.
I agree.
Just, like I said, like old Jethro Bodine says, that don't add up on the Beverly Hillbillies. That don't add up.
Yeah. Hey, you can't quite cipher like that, can you?
I can't cipher that. $2,200 a week, and they can't afford a vehicle. They got a problem. I don't understand that.
Well, they do. But, here's the other problem they're going to have is that sooner or later they're going to realize that Alabama has become the Detroit of the South, and we're going to start scarfing up plants that want to close down up north.
They already have.
Yeah.
Tennessee's already got several of them. And I'm thinking they can't understand it. Why the Kia and the Hyundais, they're less expensive, and they do last long. Toyotas, they last long.
Yeah.
A rule.
Yeah.
And they don't have to. So, you know, I mean, I'm not the smartest fella in the world, but none of this stuff is adding up to me.
Nope.
But have a great day.
You too, brother. Well, take care now. A couple of quick texts before we hit the break. Ben from Decatur says, regarding big government in Chicago, says Chicago is in Crook County. He says, I mean Cook County. Chicago, a couple years ago, tried a sugar tax on residents and failed when people would purchase food in the next county. Prediction, state stores in Chicago will fail at the expense of the residents. I agree. Mike from Athens, isn't it funny how Toyota doesn't have any of these problems? Oh, wait, they aren't unionized. There you go. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, heading into the final half hour. It's about go-home time. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one, Alabama. I'm saying, we send our signal like, whew, way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, so there is somebody else that covers down on a lot of major ground, and that's Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers much of North Alabama. I mean, they're in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area. They do amazing work. They're open 7 days a week. And I'll be honest with you, this is who I use. And I've used them since way longer than they've ever been on this show. At Southern Immediate Care, I know the guy that owns the chain, and I think the world of him. And by the way, he's a right side ruffian. But yeah, Southern Immediate Care. They do great work. I mean, every time I've been, the facilities are clean. The staff is friendly. They get you in and out, very professional. You can get your vaccinations and your x-rays done right there on the spot. And so, by the way, they handle all ages. So pediatric to geriatric. You wake up on a Saturday morning, the kid's got a fever. What do? Southern Immediate Care. Look them up. Find the location nearest to you. And if you go in, just tell them, by the way, you heard about it on that Right Side Radio. Yeah. Southern Immediate Care. Check them out. I'm gonna call an audible, Boomer.
All right.
Omaha.
There you go.
I can't do my NCAA pickup, but I can call an audible. So I'm gonna ask you this question there, Boom Shakalaka.
All right.
You've seen Senator John Fetterman?
Yes.
Yes, you You know, always out there wearing like a pair of old gym shorts and a hoodie.
Yeah, it looks like me.
Okay, well then maybe you'll have a slant on this.
Maybe.
So Fetterman, it's widely believed that what happened yesterday was to accommodate Fetterman, who doesn't like to wear anything but those pajama-style clothes. And by the way, you don't wear shorts and a hoodie.
That's true, I don't. But, I mean, he dresses very comfortably. For
some would say he's a slob.
There you go. That's a better term. I don't dress slobbish.
No. You're sitting here with your hat and your t-shirt on looking like a dude.
Yeah.
He just looks like a slob.
Just a slob.
All right. So the rules of the U.S. and I want the audience to chime in on this. I want to know what y'all think about this. It's part of the audible. I want to hear your thoughts on this. Your U.S. Senate has always had a dress code. And I'm okay with that. Military has a dress code. A lot of jobs. I can't go to court without a jacket on, you know, something like when I was in the state Senate, coat and tie in the Senate chamber required. We had one guy with a neck injury, so he had to wear a neck brace, and they had to do an agreement of the body to waive the rules to allow him to come into the Senate chambers and do business without a tie on. Okay, all that to say, Senator Chuck Schumer yesterday waived the dress requirements, the policy, and told the sergeant-at-arms to no longer enforce it, but only as to senators. Staff, aides, runners all still have to wear coat and tie. Senators, no.
Really?
Your thoughts on this?
Oh, boy.
Some believe it's because of Fetterman.
Well, if it's only for the senators and he's there, yeah, it's just for him.
So I want to know what y'all think about this. I mean, what do you think? I mean, let me ask you this. Is it necessary? Is it? What do you think?
Oh boy,
that's, I'm putting you on the spot.
You're putting me on the spot. What was this for? I mean, are you asking for that specific occasion?
Let me put it this way.
What was the occasion?
Let me put it this way. He's a U.S. senator. He's dressed for radio.
There you go. But it is. I think a U.S. senator should dress like a U.S. senator. I think there are. I mean, personally, I believe that the job force and whatever you're. I've always heard dress for the job that you want, not the job you have.
Oh,
you know,
wow, yeah.
You know, and so do I believe that a dress code is necessary? I guess it depends on the job. I mean,
the U.S. Senate, how do you feel about a U.S. senator wearing a hoodie and gym shorts?
Maybe not a hoodie and gym shorts, but I would say dress business casual.
So you'd be okay if came in without a tie on.
I'm okay meeting a U.S. senator or a senator with a nice shirt on and stuff like that without a tie. That's just me personally.
Uh-huh.
I'm okay with that. But coming in now, depending on what day it is, are you coming to watch football at my house? Yeah, dadgummit,
that's different.
wear a hoodie. But if you're going to meet somebody else in a council or doing something like that, you need to dress the part.
Dress for success.
Yeah.
So I look at this. I think on the floor of the Senate, and I don't care if they loosen their tie and, you know, and go without a jacket in a committee meeting. I don't care if they are out campaigning with like a golf shirt on that has their logo embroidered on it. You know, sure. I mean, that's absolutely. But to me, and this is something that struck me when I was in the state Senate. One of the things that struck me was I was very glad that the requirements of passing the laws that affect the day-to-day actions of citizens required formality and required decorum and required a level of professionalism. And it didn't always look professional or sound professional, but by God, it wore a coat and tie. You know what I'm saying? So don't come in like you just came off the basketball gym floor or a pick-me-up game and you remembered, oh, yeah, I got to go vote on that thing that taxes people. You know, or you come in looking like a complete schlep, and you just I just see this as dumbing down the people that make decisions that impact our day-to-day life. And to me, if you knew what the dress code was when you became a U.S. senator, maybe you shouldn't want it to change. Maybe you should go ahead. When I got in the military, one of the most drudging things I ever had to do was polish boots. But you know what? After a while, you begin to realize the good troops, the ones who were squared away, were the ones who also kind of looked squared away. You know, back in the day, we used to actually starch our garrison uniforms, make ourselves look like our haircuts mattered. And yet, when I went to Afghanistan, I had a beard and long hair, all right? So I got out there and did the job, and I may have had relaxed grooming standards, but when I came back home to garrison, cleaned that sucker up, made that sucker look like it was supposed to look. And so I just see this as being a thing. And Lord, the text lines just went boom. Let me grab a few of these. Lisa from Huntsville. Good Lord, is the Senate trying to compete with Walmart? Oh, that one got me right in the gut. All right, Mike from Huntsville says a disgrace, but they should all wear clown suits. Okay. Daryl from Tony says, they represent me and us. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. That's why I think it's important to put some formality in it. JT from Lacey Springs says, senators, knowing some of their lifetimes, well, go ahead and expect spandex and Speedos. Brr. Gonna bring the Lululemons into the Senate chamber. Why not? John from Huntsville says, I hate dress codes. I will never wear a suit. Okay, John, but you're not in the U.S. Senate, bro. So, you know, I walk into court tomorrow morning, I'm going to be wearing a jacket and tie because I'm pretty sure a judge is going to say something if I don't. John from Harvest says, as a senator, if you can't even meet the dress standards, you have no business being a senator. There you go. Badger from Athens says, I work on the Arsenal, and ever since the return from COVID, I have seen more shorts, hats, and sandals. Is this wrong? Yeah, it's like something happened. Like, everybody thought, well, I'll work from home in my boxer shorts. It doesn't mean you get to wear your boxer shorts when you go back to the office. Walking around, you know, in your boxers with your fuzzy slippers on, wearing your T-shirt.
I like me some fuzzy slippers.
Well, I'll put on my fuzzy slippers when I get home. I absolutely will. And they're my favorites, by the way.
Oh, man.
And a pair of flannel pants. Charlene got me some. In fact, she got me some new lounging pants the other day.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know where you got these, but you need to find another pair. I mean, like, I want another pair of these. They're great. I go home. I'm like, dress me down quick.
Awesome.
Yeah, throw on an old T-shirt, but not when I was in the Senate chamber.
Nope.
So I just look at this. Y'all text in. I mean, what do you think? Should Fetterman be required to go ahead and dress for success, or should we dumb down everybody else? I'm tainting the pool here. Yeah, but. I am tainting, aren't I? I'm sorry. I've already said my opinion, though.
You said your opinion. I mean, I've said mine. I've been that person, honestly, in all my jobs that I've pushed my dress code limit. I have.
You mean like see what you can get away with?
Not see what I could get away with. More so for me, it's what I can do business in and feel comfortable and what's the word? Like I feel secure and comfortable in what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
And a tie is not one of them.
Okay, but.
But I'm not in the Senate.
But you're not in the Senate. And if you had a job that said you will wear a tie every day, you would either A, not get the job.
I would A, either not do the job.
Yeah.
Or B, all right, be in trouble a lot.
let me bring something back to you.
Yeah.
you had a job that was going to require you to wear a mask.
Absolutely not. And I already quit one.
What'd you do?
I quit.
No, I'm saying you already did.
Yeah.
All right. That was, in essence, a dress code.
Exactly.
That they were trying to enforce, and you said, I'm not here anymore.
You said, thank you very much, but I don't believe in this, and I'm not going to do it.
Okay. So what I'm saying there is, but Fetterman wants to wear gym shorts and a T-shirt on the floor of the U.S. Senate.
He needs to pick.
Thank you.
There it is.
And then I got to ask a second question. Why are they doing all this for Fetterman?
Yeah, why is he so special?
What the heck?
Are they? Is Biden about to start doing this, and they're just trying to ease it in?
Oh.
Because he can't put on a tie anymore? Sorry, I just threw that in there.
you just went there.
I did.
So when Biden is eating his pudding. Yeah. And wearing his Lululemons. Yeah, I see it now.
That's what it is.
You better take me to a break before I just totally get myself in trouble. All right, you guys go ahead and text it in if you got some thoughts on this, or call it in for that matter. 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number. Text or call. 833-68-RIGHT. Was it reasonable for them to change the standards of dress to have no standards of dress in the U.S. Senate? I'm curious your thoughts. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, let me tell you about ZLA Solutions. So ZLA Solutions, they are doing stuff to help businesses make their businesses better all over the entire listening area and beyond, really. ZLA Solutions. Listen, man, if you need help with your business to make it better, they can do all kinds of things to help you with it. They can do things like help you with sorting and containment, quality control, logistics, warehousing, all that kind of stuff. Their bread and butter, though, remains staffing. So if you need people, like people, folks, doesn't matter, you need one or two or you need a whole shift, people, they can help you find them. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. I always like to say blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. So yeah, ZLA Solutions, their mission in life is just to help you make your business better. So check them out. Their website is zlausa.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And by the way, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio because they've been with us since the beginning. What you got, man?
So we just saw Fetterman. I just saw what you were
on
saying.
On TV, yeah.
He was a complete slob.
Just a schlep.
I said, man, he looks like he's going to the gym. And then we're like, no, he's not. It doesn't even look that
people
good.
People in the gym look better than
they,
that.
They look better than that. So, yes, there needs to be something. That looks awful.
That looks like Saturday morning with a cup of coffee. I just rolled out of bed, and this is what I threw on.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, it was bad.
But, okay, I've got phone calls, and I'm going to get them, but you told me during the break, because I don't want anybody to assume that you don't know how to dress for success.
That's true, guys.
You're dressed for radio right now, and that works.
Yeah.
But you've even had, like,
okay, so I did give you the example. So I guess where I'm getting at, I just don't like ties personally.
Okay.
But I do, I know how to dress. Like, I like to dress to the T if the occasion arises.
Okay.
And one of my favorite stories was I was at an award show and we were
in
the country music industry. And we were in a giant green room, and from across the room, there was this gentleman that saw me and walked all the way over to me. And he said, sir.
Who was this gentleman?
It was Kiefer Sutherland.
Woo!
From 24.
24.
So Jack Bauer. And he said, sir, you look very dapper. And I said, thank you, sir. And dude, I'll remember that forever. And I did. I looked dapper.
And you knew
I did not have a, you know, I did not have what everybody else had on, the tuxes.
So
or any
what
of that
you're
stuff,
saying
so.
Is Jack Bauer had a man crush on you.
I guess so. All right. I mean, I will take it. That was awesome. I mean, yeah, if you ever watched 24, man. I did. I love that show.
That was the first show that I ever made it a point to, like, not miss an episode. Hey, honey, it's coming on. Sit down. Everybody's up. You know, finish dinner in time. We got to sit down. Let me grab some phone calls real quick. Man, the phone lines are running in and the text lines are blowing up. Line one, Brian from Huntsville. Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing okay, other than your ringtone, George Thorogood, and coming out and everything. That's my ringtone. That's my ringtone on my phone. I was looking at it as if somebody was calling in on me while I was waiting.
What you think about this dress code, man?
Well, I appreciate it. I meant right now I'm working from remote, but I get up and I put on whatever I would go into the office with before COVID hit. That puts me in the right spirit.
That's professionalism, and it's something about it sets a mindset too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Now, I'm wondering if Boomer had been in there and it had been Caitlyn Jenner that came over that said he looked dapper. I'm wondering if somebody identifies as something else as a senator, are they okay to wear any set of clothing as long as it's nice that they want?
Well, they'll have to be professional for that which they identify, I guess. But at this point,
I'll let it go there.
At this point, thanks. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, drag queens are going to be on the floor of the Senate now. But line two, Thomas from Athens. Hey, Thomas, how you doing? Did we lose Thomas? Thomas. All right, hang on 1 second. We're going to see if Thomas is there. In the meantime, JT from Lacey Springs says, if I have a broke leg, hang on, my texture's not working. Let me get it back. Come on, text machine. Well, I can't get a call on the line, and I can't get a text. This is like a heck of a thing in the final moments of the show. You got him back? Oh, good. Line two, Thomas from Athens. How you doing, man?
Doing well, Colonel. Three quick points on the Senate. Look up senatorial in the dictionary and see where it came from, the Roman Senate, number one. Number two, it's going to be interesting to see how many Democrats dress down and how many Republicans dress like they really want to represent fairly and consistently the millions of people in their state. And number three, I think most of the people that work in their basements in the pajamas probably voted for Fetterman.
And there, his true feelings came out at the very end of that call.
Yes, sir.
Thomas, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call, and you guys have a great day. My text line went down.
It did. Yeah. So what you just said reminded me of something. You said when you dress up, you know, at the beginning of your day, it starts your day off right. But I also look at it as when the first thing you do in the morning is make your bed and you've accomplished the first task of your day.
Which is, by the way, one of my favorite speeches was given by Admiral McRaven. You've seen that speech.
I've seen that speech.
That speech is awesome.
Yes.
I've actually used that speech in a Bible study to teach, you know, things like leadership and diligence and, you know, the pursuit of excellence. My texter came back. Let's see if we can keep it up. JT from Lacey Springs, he's referring to the fact that, you know, Fetterman is impaired and everybody knows it. And now Fetterman has worn a suit since his impairments, but I don't know why they have to dress him down. But anyway, JT from Lacey Springs says, he's the one who said, expect them to wear spandex and Speedos, knowing some of their lifestyles. But then he said, but if I have a broke leg and need a wheelchair, so be it. Not a reason for all to have one. There you go. John from Lexington, South Carolina says, Democrats, standards, ha, 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 ha. And then he says, the only elected people who cannot dress themselves, Fetterman and Feinstein and Biden. Crazy Joe from Decatur sends me a meme. Says, has a picture of a guy like a mountain man wearing a grizzly bear hat. Says, dress codes, we don't need no stinking dress codes. Listen, the grades are in. Phil, you get an A- today. Boomer gets an A+ because he did not give in to ridiculous dress codes, which means Boomer's today's winners. Congratulations. Never mind the fact that we know he's got a fix on the pick'em. All right. Great day. You guys have an amazing night. Boomer and I back here tomorrow, too. We will see you then.
right side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right.